This is Sports Saturday on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
Saturday morning across the Midwest here in Kansas City. This is Sports Saturday, Sports Radio 810 WHB. I am your host, Brad Porter. Jed Marshall is our producer slash DJ for today. We're broadcasting live from the Rally House Studios. Jed sets the theme music for the show. So, Jed, what is today's theme?
I just put funky. So funky. I don't know, a lot of
like
funk
that.
Music.
I like that. One of the best quotes I ever got from a parent of a big-time athlete was it was either the 2002 or 2003 Final Four, so either Atlanta or New Orleans. I think it was the one in New Orleans. Drew Gooden. It was Drew Gooden's last year.
That would have been in Atlanta then.
Okay, so Atlanta in 02. So occasionally when you're looking for stories, and at the time I was working, I was still in television at the channel formerly known as Metro Sports, and sometimes when you go to a Final Four, you have your basic stories. Who are the star players? Who's the guy? Who are the guys off the bench who are going to make a difference? Who are the top coaches? You're always doing profiles and things, and so we were looking for fun stories, and we kind of thought, let's talk to some of the parents. We know Drew Gooden's going pro. Let's go talk to Drew Gooden's dad and ask him, because I don't think Drew had announced it yet that he was going pro or going into the NBA draft, but everybody knew. So Drew Gooden's dad was at the shoot-around one day. And the shoot-around's lighthearted. Teams don't do anything in front of the public that they're going to do in the game. It's basically a three-point slash slam dunk contest. And then they run a couple of show offenses to kind of give the fans something to see. But nothing special. So we knew Drew Gooden's dad might say something. So we went and talked to him. And he really didn't say anything, but didn't say he wasn't going pro. And so I asked Drew Gooden's dad, do you have any words of advice for Drew as he goes into this Final Four? Drew Gooden's dad looked right at me and looked into the camera and said, like my friend James Brown said, you got to keep it funky. So funky's a good word for today. That was one of the best parent of an athlete interviews I ever did. It was a lot of fun. Now that's a way to start the show. So we had a good lineup of guests lined up for today. So Brandon Kiley is going to join us at 10 o'clock. Brandon works at 101 ESPN in St. Louis, writes for 101sports.com. We'll talk Mizzou basketball with Brandon Kelly at 10. And the big question of the day, as Missouri is set to host Arkansas at 5 o'clock, will Michael Porter Jr. play? Thought we might see him against Vanderbilt. The broadcasters for that game said, saw him in the workouts. He was going 100%. He was hanging and banging with the guys. Nobody was taking it easy on him. And then he didn't play. Kept the warm-ups on. So will Michael Porter Jr. Play today in the final regular season game for Mizzou against Arkansas? We'll have to wait and see. The other Porter, Jonte, wow, against Vanderbilt, comes off the bench and pours in 24 points. What, 8 of 9 from the floor? That's Azubuike territory there for Jonte Porter.
I thought he was 9 of 10.
9 of 10.
Curtis mentioned something. I just remember he had an end of the hour about that.
Okay, I was off by one. So he was 9 of 10. It was terrific. So Mizzou got the win against Vanderbilt, put the brakes on that three-game losing streak, and now I believe firmly locked into the NCAA tournament, regardless of what happens against Arkansas. But you want to be sure, right? You want to be sure if you're a Missouri fan? You want to be sure. It's been too long. It's been a drought. So 10 o'clock, Brandon and Kylie will join us to talk Mizzou basketball. At 10:30, Brian Haney, the voice of the Kansas Jayhawks, into his preparation for KU's final regular season game today. That'll be at 3 o'clock against Oklahoma State. So Brian Haney going to take a break from his pregame preparation and join us. And we got a lot of good KU stuff today. Jayhawk game day comes your way at noon with Joshua Briscoe. 1:30 is for the Jayhawk Network IMG pregame show. 3 o'clock is the game, and then the postgame show to follow. So Brian Haney talking Kansas at 3 o'clock, or rather with us at 10:30 about the game at 3 o'clock. And, of course, the obvious question for Kansas and for Brian Haney, are they going all out today? The Big 12 championship has been secured. It is the outright championship. They have the number one seed for the Big 12 tournament next week in Kansas City. So do you go all out here? Do you ball out for the last game? Do you do it for one more win? Does Devontae Graham play his regular 40 minutes? Does Svi Mykhailiuk play his regular 38 minutes? I don't think so. I would be surprised, highly surprised, if Devontae Graham played 40 full minutes today. Now, if he played 35, that wouldn't surprise me at all. We saw that in the last game. Devontae got 5 minutes of rest, and Bill Self's great at massaging, getting players rest, because he'll do it right before a TV timeout, so it buys you a couple of extra minutes on the bench. So I don't think Devontae Graham plays 40 minutes. But is KU going to sell out to get that one win, to get that last win?
There are a couple of other factors. Coach Self has never been swept in the regular season.
Yeah, we talked about that last week.
And
yeah.
Somebody, there's another stat, I can't remember it exactly, but I think he's played 100 home series, and he's, maybe it's...
Home and home series?
Yeah, something like that. But I personally, I think Coach Self comes across as the guy who really wants to win the game.
He wants to win every game.
So I don't think Devontae's going to play like 16 minutes, and you're going to see a ton of Marcus Garrett like dominating the ball. But yeah, I could see like 35, you know, Svi 34, 35 getting, you know, a night off for them.
So if we set a floor and a ceiling on minutes for Devontae Graham today, I'll set the floor at 25 minutes.
Oh, no, higher, higher. Floor is 32.
32 for the floor.
32.
So what's the ceiling then?
40.
40.
If it's a close game down the stretch, do you really think Bill Self is going to take Devontae Graham out of the game? He went to Oklahoma State. Coach Self is not very good in Oklahoma State, and the Jayhawks traditionally struggle there.
Right. Okay, so I'll ballpark it. I'm going to go 34 minutes. But I'm not
think
surprised
he plays
if
north
he goes 38 or 40.
I think he plays 35.
So Brian Haney, voice of the Jayhawks at 10:30 to set up that game against Oklahoma State. At 11 o'clock, Riley Gates from GoPowerCat.com will join us to talk K-State. They have the early game for the locals. They play at 1 o'clock, hosting Baylor. K-State tied for fifth place in the Big 12 with TCU. And for K-State, I think this is a must-win for NCAA tournament hopes. I think if you lose... Here's the worst-case scenario. Lose to Baylor and then lose your first game in the Big 12 tournament. That's worst case, and then you're out of the Big 12 tournament. If I'm K-State, I'm thinking of this as must-win.
Ask Fran Fraschilla.
Yeah, let's ask Fran Fraschilla. Because if you lose to Baylor, and then maybe you get a win in the Big 12 and lose the second game, you're going to be awfully nervous on Sunday watching that NCAA selection show. I think K-State has to go out there with the idea they need to win this. I think that's the mindset they need to go in with. So Riley Gates at 11 o'clock will join us talking K-State basketball. Then at 11:30, my good friend, former Kansas City Wizards / Sporting KC star defender Nick Garcia will join us. Sporting KC getting ready to open their season tomorrow, Sunday, national television against NYCFC. Jed Marshall with an applause from the other room. You know what? The Major League Soccer season is long. It might be the longest in professional sports, in American sports. But if you lose that first playoff game, the offseason seems even longer. Because you've seen all the updates. Nate Bucchetti's been out in Arizona where the team has been training in the nice warm weather. Although it has been hot there. So Sporting KC plays Sunday. And that game will be live here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Pregame at 6 o'clock. Kickoff between Sporting KC and New York City FC at 6:30. And then Davey B will have the postgame coverage. That'll be at Children's Mercy Park. And Davey B does it right in is the Supporters Club?
Yeah.
It's the big club down in the corner. And it's
with
very
the drums.
With the drums. And it's very loud, very noisy. And Davey B does a good job of handling the noise. So
who will join us tomorrow?
Yeah, Davey B will be on the Sunday show. So Sporting KC gets going on Sunday. And for me... I'm a huge soccer fan. I bought in. I grew up playing it a little bit, playing soccer a little bit, but that was the era where none of the dads knew anything about the sport. And so the dads who coached us basically threw the ball on the field, and it was pack ball. It was 22, or rather 20 guys huddled around the ball just trying to kick it. Just kick it! There's no real rhyme or reason, no real strategy, no real thought. So when I grew up playing that way, it was not very fun. I got away from it. But then when the World Cup came to the United States in 1994, I was hooked. I was hooked for life. And at that time, I still didn't quite understand what the game was all about. But these larger-than-life personalities just jumped off the screen. And the U.S. national team, Big Tones, Tony Meola in goal, and he had the ponytail at the time. In fact, Big Tones is going to be in town for the game. He's doing color commentary for Fox Sports 1. So he was I heard him on he was on the Border Patrol this week with Nate Buchady, Stephen St. John, and Jake Gutierrez, and he was trying to get a flight out of Jersey. But if you've seen the weather on the East Coast this week, I think there were like 2,000 flights canceled going into or coming out of that area. So Big Tones was supposed to fly in yesterday, but caught a flight out this morning. In fact, Tony Meola just tweeted out he's on the jet on his way here, not even going to the hotel. He's going over to the new Pinnacle training facility at Children's Mercy Park. The national team trains there. Sporting KC trains there. It's world-class. It's probably, this is just the reviews I've heard from the players, including international players. It's probably the best training complex in the world right now. And that's why you get the kind of designated players that are coming to Sporting KC now, because the facilities, before at Swope Park, they were fantastic. But now this new training center, Pinnacle, over at Children's Mercy Park is just fantastic. So Big Tones, Tony Meola, is going right there after he gets off the plane, going to meet with Peter Vermes, talk to a couple of players, and hang out. So Sporting KC gets going this weekend, and we're gonna talk about that. I'm so excited. I want to see the new guys. It's been frustrating,
for sure.
Jed. Jed, I think you'll agree. It's been frustrating the last few years, not only getting knocked out in the first game of the playoffs, but not scoring.
Well, yeah, the lack of, I don't know, the ability to put the ball in the back of the net has been troubling for Sporting. So hopefully the additions, you know, improve that aspect. I did hear Peter Vermes with Seren yesterday, and he talked about how, I can't remember which year, I think it might have been 12 or 13, or no, it was an 11 when they opened the new stadium. They really struggled at the start to find their chemistry.
Yeah, they went like 8 or 9 games losing.
But then they went the last 20-so games without losing. So he said it might be similar to that. So I think Kansas City fans, Sporting fans in general, need to be patient, and it might take a minute. But yeah, man, I'm excited. Like you said, when your team goes out in the first round in like October,
it stinks.
Oh man,
because the championship game isn't until December.
It's ridiculous, and then it's just a 2-month turnaround, and you're like, all right, cool, my team's already back playing, so it's 10 months.
Yeah.
But when it's 2 extra months, you're like, wow, this really sucks.
Another thing I like that Peter said, and hopefully Rudy Salazar is listening. Is he in his car? He's gone.
Rudy went downstairs to take a nap.
He's downstairs taking a nap. Hopefully he's got
and
a
maybe
song.
Play Mario Kart.
Rudy's a big soccer fan. I know he's disappointed. I think Everton lost today, his team.
They were down.
They were down.
If it's final.
I'm a Liverpool guy. My team plays at 11 against Newcastle, which is Jimmy Conrad's team, former Kansas City Wizards, Sporting KC great. It
would be nice for you guys to take a loss today as a Chelsea fan.
Yeah, I'd rather not.
Well, I mean, we're going to lose to Man City tomorrow morning, so that's why I say that.
Well, another thing I like that Peter Vermes said, and this is, and I'm not going to get too far into this because I want to get back into Chiefs, Royals, and college basketball here because we have Nick Garcia coming up at 11:30. The other thing I like that Peter Vermes said, and I know it had to absolutely chap the backsides of people who are really into soccer around the world, whether it's England or Spain or Germany or France, whatever league you might watch. Seren Petro asked him about promotion versus relegation. And if you don't understand that, there's like in the top league in England, there's 20 teams. If you finish in the bottom three, you basically go down to AAA is the most direct example I can give you. If you're in the bottom three, you go down to AAA. If you're in AAA and you finish in the top three, you get to go up to the big time. And so Seren and Peter Vermes were talking about it. And Seren said, what do you think about that? And Peter said, I think it's ridiculous. And the reason is, and this is what Peter said, is would you want to be in England and on the last day of the season, your team finishes in 15th place and you're cheering, yay, we get to stay in the big leagues. You're cheering for that. And Peter Vermes said, no. I want to win everything we can win. MLS Cup, Lamar Hunt U.S. Open Cup, Champions League, whatever it is, and Sporting won't be in Champions League this year, but they're in for next year. Whatever it is, he wants to win. And I totally agree with that. And the other side of that is Major League Soccer, compared to the rest of the world, is still in its infancy. It might be getting towards its teenage years. I mean, it's over 20 years old now, but compared to other leagues around the world, it's still new. And what Major League Soccer has done has asked owners and ownership groups now to pay between $100 and $150 million to buy a franchise. What owner or ownership group is going to lay down $150 million for the possibility that in year two, he's playing in a minor league? That's not how it works.
It's an interesting debate in a lot of different capacities because soccer here in America is, I don't know, Americanized.
Right.
And we have a playoff that is the MLS Cup. I think that makes it different. If you were able to actually understand the way that relegation and promotion work, I guess would be a little bit different because there are also like 20 leagues in England alone. So
right.
It makes it when you're like, oh yeah, they're going down to AAA, kind of. It's
they're still good leagues.
Yeah, it's a really good league that you're being relegated to. So it's not quite the same. And the other difference is in the English versus the United States game, the supporter shield, that person wins the trophy
right.
in England.
Right.
So there's still subtle differences.
Right.
But
I just like Peter's comments. I want to win everything.
Right.
I don't want anybody to cheer for us finishing in sixth
sure,
place.
Sure, and I think I agree with Peter. Who am I to disagree with him? But I think those teams also are wanting to win trophies, but
right.
I think when it boils down to, all right, cool, we didn't get relegated, then they're like, sigh of relief.
Yes.
So I don't necessarily think it's like, yeah, 15th.
And the owners are cheering because it's a boatload of cash. All right, you're listening to Sports Saturday, Sports Radio 810 WHB. I'm Brad Porter. Jed Marshall is producing. So more sporting talk at 11:30 with Nick Garcia. So we'll bring it back around and talk about a couple of other things. The Kansas City Royals yesterday, if you had a chance to watch Fox Sports Midwest yesterday at around 2 o'clock. The Royals taking on the San Diego Padres. And always love spring training until about the fifth inning because then the starters are out and you got a lot of guys coming into the game that aren't going to make the team. But what was jarring about watching the game yesterday, and I guess, look, we knew in October that Eric Hosmer was not coming back to the Kansas City Royals. Now, there were stories floated over the last several weeks. The Royals were trying to make a competitive offer with the Padres, but those stories were overblown, and apparently it was never more than $100 million, although one of the rumors had him at $140 to $147, but that turned out to be false. So we all knew in October that Eric Hosmer had played his last game in a Royals uniform, right? We all understood that he was about to be a very wealthy man, and it was going to be somewhere other than Kansas City. Got into December, got into January. Still talk. Well, Royals are still talking to him. Doors open. Scott Boras will listen to anything, which he will. So there was that, I guess the carrot was being dangled. Maybe. Just maybe. And then Eric Hosmer signs $144 million. Can hit the eject button after the fifth year and go get another big contract. So when Eric Hosmer signed, and he was announced, put on his little Padres hat, and put his jersey on over his plaid shirt. It was like, okay, it's in Padres. But seeing it yesterday crystallized the fact that Eric Hosmer don't play here anymore. Came up to bat in the second inning against it. You have the at-bat. We'll play it for you. Jed Marshall's going to play the at-bat here. And then we'll set it up with that. We'll set up the clip because they kind of talk about some of the things that were going on between Salvador Perez, Danny Duffy, and Eric Hosmer. So here's the clip from Fox Sports Midwest, Eric Hosmer, first at bat against the Kansas City Royals. MLB Network. Okay, MLB Network's call. Here we go.
Eric Hosmer leading it off here for the Padres in the bottom of the second inning. Just a brace to a Salvador Perez. He made his way to the home plate area. And there he is in a Padres uniform for the first time against his old team, the Kansas City Royals. You know, spring training still got to feel very strange for him today.
Yeah, it's got to be very strange. And obviously, Danny Duffy just pipes a fastball to him. I just love the game within the game here that's just out of respect.
It's got to be very odd to face the Royals, but very odd to face Danny Duffy, who you've been playing behind and with for a number of years, not only at the major league level, but at the minor league level, and now you're doing it here.
Yeah, because when you spend some time around Eric Hosmer, and I think the Kansas City fans know this all too well, he is first class through and through to everybody. And he has a certain presence around the fields that I think is obvious when you think about the San Diego Padres and going out in acquiring somebody like this. This is what you want to do.
Popped up, little pop up towards the shortstop Escobar, shielding his eyes from the sun as he makes the catch astride on the outfield grass. So Duffy wins that battle with his old friend Eric Hosmer.
So there was Eric Hosmer's first at bat against the Kansas City Royals. He did go 1-for-4 on the day. But I'll take issue with the description of that first at bat from the guys who were calling the game. The first pitch from Danny Duffy was not a, quote, pipe shot. He gave him three straight fastballs. The first one came in middle, but low, right at the top of the kneecaps. And I think Danny Duffy wanted to challenge. In fact, Danny Duffy said after the game he wanted to challenge Eric Hosmer. And if you want, I mean, just the action on Danny Duffy's pitches coming from that left hand, almost three quarters, it was whipping across the plate. It was not a pipe shot, quote unquote. There was no game within the game and respecting your opponent and here you go, Eric. I'm going to serve it up for you. That's not a fair characterization. Danny Duffy went right after him. And then the next two pitches went away and then further away, and Hosmer fouled it up. And Hosmer had a nice gesture. He gave Salvi a tap on his shin guards with his bat. And those guys live by each other in Florida. The announcers during the game were like, these guys, it's great to see them together again. As Hosmer and Salvi were walking off to the outfield to head to the clubhouses. These guys are great friends. Yeah, they live down the street from each other in Miami. They train together all the time. Nothing new. So, So Duffy had a good at bat against Eric Hosmer. Duffy's day was so-so. I was a little bit disappointed. It's his first spring outing. I'm not going to make a mountain out of a molehill here. But he threw a lot of pitches in two innings and had a lot of deep counts, which is one of his old problems. And for a guy who's never gotten to 200 innings, you like to see that pitch count keep lower. He was over 30 pitches over those two innings. It's not a good way to start. So he went his two innings, gave up one hit, couple of runs, couple of walks. Like I said, deep counts. So it was a little bit disappointing. And Danny Duffy talked with, I believe, the TV broadcast crew after the game or whoever he talked with. So, okay. So Danny Duffy, did he talk with the...
I'm sure I can find it. I just was going to mention, when you talked about the piping fastball, it didn't remind you of anything like this?
Danny got to buzz the towel or anything?
Why don't you ask Danny that? What do I look like?
You can tell him to.
Why would I tell him to? He's one of the best players I ever had. Again, we don't think like you. Why would you even think that?
There was a long discussion this week about Danny Klinkscale and how he thinks differently than everybody else.
He sure does.
No, spring training is not when you're buzzing the tower. Now, there was the talk at 2016 spring training. A reporter who covers the Mets basically made up a story that the Royals were going to throw at the Mets because Noah Syndergaard buzzed Alcides Escobar in the World Series. And so a reporter who covers the Mets didn't quote anybody, basically made up a story that the Royals wanted revenge and that when the Mets and Royals opened up the 2016 season at Kauffman Stadium, the Royals were going to get their revenge. They're going to throw at the Mets. It was complete hogwash and garbage. And Danny Duffy was not going to buzz the tower on Eric Hosmer. And we'll hear from Danny Duffy after we take a time out here. But that was not going to happen. But again, it was jarring to see. It wasn't jarring. Like I said, we knew Hosmer was going to the Padres, but it crystallized that the old Royals are done. The 13, 14, 15... even into 16 Royals, that's over. And it was a little bit hard to watch, but good to see Danny Duffy win that battle. All right, we're going to talk more Royals. We're going to talk Chiefs. We haven't gotten into the Chiefs yet. NFL Combine, some strange numbers coming out of the Combine, both very good and very bad for certain players. And we'll talk more Big 12 basketball, and we'll get into our guests starting in the 10 o'clock hour. It is Sports Saturday. I am Brad Porter, and you're listening to Sports Radio 810 WHB live from the Rally House Studios.
Danny, got to buzz the towel or anything?
Why don't you ask Danny that? What do I look like?
You can tell him to.
Why would I tell him to? He's one of the best players I ever had. Again, we don't think like you. Why would you even think that?
This is Sports Saturday on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
Thank you.
easing into our Saturday morning here on Sports Saturday. Sports Radio 810 WHB. I'm your host, Brad Porter. Jed Marshall is producing. Again, a lot to get to today. Brandon Kiley from 101 ESPN in St. Louis joining us at 10 to talk Mizzou basketball. Brian Haney, the voice of the Jayhawks, joins us at 10:30 to set up their game against Oklahoma State, which you can hear live here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Then at 11 o'clock, Riley Gates, GoPowerCat.com, will join us talking K-State. And whether or not this game against Baylor is must-win today to get to the NCAA tournament, to me, they have to play that way. And then at 11:30, Nick Garcia, my good friend, former Kansas City Wizard slash Sporting KC star defender, will join us to talk about the season opener tomorrow at Children's Mercy Park, 6:30, a game you can hear live on Sports Radio 810 WHB. So all that still to come. If you've been going around on Twitter this morning, there's been a lot of reposting of an absolutely hellacious dunk from early on in the Iowa State-Oklahoma game. If you don't know, they played Friday night, which was odd to play their last regular season game on a Friday night. But Oklahoma beat Iowa State 81-60. Trey Young, another, I'll call it, cold night. 15 points, 5 of 19 from the floor, and 1 of 9 from downtown. Man, that kid is cold. And I'm not going to be on. I'm not going to get on that bandwagon of it's over. He's overrated. No, he's a great player. Just in a slump right now, and he's the only guy on the team who's got any kind of talent right now. But the point was, early on in that game, and you can find this on Twitter or other social media platforms. It was early on in the game. I think Iowa State. I think it was their second field goal of the game. Lindell Wigginton splits two defenders at the top of the key, charges down the lane, goes over the top of Oklahoma's big man, slams it down, and then basically falls on his back and his side and rolls onto his chest from, he's 10 feet off the ground, folks. Maybe 8 feet. If he's not all the way at the rim, but, I mean, he was way high off the ground and crashed down, and I thought, oh, my God, I think he's broken. And I forget that, you know what, he's 19 years old. When you're that age, you pop back up and run down the floor like nothing happened. So he popped back up. Ran down the floor, continued playing the game. Lindell Wigginton. But please search for that on Twitter, social media, whatever. Google it, whatever you want to do. And look for Lindell Wigginton slam dunk from last night's game against Oklahoma. It was fantastic. All right, we have not talked any Chiefs yet, so we'll do that a little bit now. And we're kind of in that dead period. The new league year doesn't start until March 14th, so we're about less than 2 weeks away, inside of 2 weeks. So none of the signings or trades that have happened so far will become official until that day. So we're into the NFL Combine. And for the life of me, I get people who are really, really into the National Football League and want to watch the Combine from sunup to sundown and the 40 yards and the bench pressing the 225 and the vertical jumps and the cone drills. Some of that I enjoy, but I can't watch it start to finish. I can't watch it all day long because there's other things that I have to watch. But some of the ridiculous numbers coming out of the Combine yesterday, and also some great comments coming out of the Combine. How about Oklahoma quarterback Baker Mayfield? A lot of debate. Is he good enough? Is he tall enough? Is he tall enough to be a first-round draft pick? Well, what Baker Mayfield would like you to know is that he's the most accurate quarterback in the draft. He said it, put it on the line, put his name on it. I'm the most accurate quarterback in the draft. And most of the pre-draft projections have him as probably the fourth or fifth ranked quarterback in the draft. So what do you want to do with Baker Mayfield if you're an NFL team? Do you want to spend a first-round pick if you really need a quarterback? Is Baker Mayfield your guy? I like the guy. He's got a lot of moxie. You don't like him? Jed Marshall's shaking his head. You don't like him?
Moxie? That's one word for it.
It's a nice way of saying he's arrogant and cocky.
I was going to say, that's one way of saying he's a jackass.
You know, when he threw the flag down at Ohio State, I liked it. I shouldn't, because that show your kids and say, please don't act like that. I kind of liked it. Plus, Urban Meyer, anytime something happens against him or his team that's embarrassing, I'll take that.
Oh, I loved that, being a Michigan fan. That was outstanding.
Yes. And for one, I think Urban Meyer plays fast and loose with the truth sometimes. And he tried to get a cameraman fired last season because during the pregame warmups, one of the Ohio State players ran into the camera guy who was on the field doing his job. Everybody knows before a game, the TV networks have camera guys on the field to get close shots of your quarterback or your running back or your wide receiver. Whatever. Cameras are there. And one of his players ran into the camera. I'm going to find out who that camera guy is, and I'm calling the network. I don't know if it was ESPN or Fox or Big Ten Network, whatever it was. I'm sure it wasn't Big Ten Network because Ohio State's on the bigger channels. But I'm going to find out who that guy is. I'm going to call their executives, and basically inferring that he wanted the guy fired. How much money do you think that cameraman makes in comparison with Urban Meyer? About 1%. Oh, breaking news here. Do we have, we have the Border Patrol has a breaking news sounder. They have like an alarm. I think it's a foghorn they use. Yeah, they used the foghorn yesterday. We don't have a breaking news like a teletype. Attention, Mr. and Mrs. America and all the ships at sea, all that kind of stuff. So breaking news, Jed Marshall's got it. And I'm going to fumble around on the computer, but Jed, go ahead. Breaking news. Here we go. There's your breaking news.
All right, let's
Missouri
see
basketball here. Fans, what do you got, Jed?
According to Chris Fickett, who is
Kansas City Star,
yes,
right?
So works at the Kansas City Star, one of the deputy editors there. He says Michael Porter will not play tonight versus Arkansas. That's from Twitter 1 minute ago. I'm going to go ahead and retweet that. If you want to follow me, it's at JedRow24.
Okay, so that is breaking right now. Michael Porter Jr. Will not play, and now I'm seeing the timeline build up by the second. Dave Matter, who works for the St. Louis Post-Dispatch, used to work in Columbia, but he covers Mizzou. Dave Matter also confirming that Michael Porter Jr. will not play against Arkansas, and that's per the team. So
they got
team...
Michael Porter Jr. No. Michael Porter. I'm getting tickets.
Oh, and
that kid's going to be so disappointed.
If Stephen St. John is up right now.
He's going to the game.
I know he's going to the game. He's been talking about it all week. He got his tickets, and he's been talking all week and just dreaming about Michael Porter Jr. playing because he's making the trip down there to see the Tigers play Arkansas. Stephen St. John, if you're listening, I feel for you, man. I really was hoping he would play today. And now the discussion will be, since now we're going to track away from the NFL because this is big, the discussion now becomes, okay, he's not playing today against Arkansas.
They got Michael Porter Jr.
So if you got tickets. Yeah, if you got tickets, I'm sorry. So now the discussion will be, well, is he going to play in the SEC tournament next week in St. Louis? If he's healthy and Michael Porter Jr. wants to play and the family agrees and the coach agrees, everybody's got to agree. I don't know. Everybody's got to sign off on this. I've heard that. Everybody's got to sign off. If Michael Porter Jr. wants to play, let him play. But Michael Porter Jr. is still going to have influence from probably his dad and probably his family and the coach and thinking about his future.
That's a lot of ifs. What would you do, Brad?
Had I been a major Division I athlete with NBA aspirations at 5'10 and no jumping skills and a poor shooter and could only dribble basically with my right hand,
Well, my game's slightly better, but we are the same size.
When I played in grade school, in junior high, my nickname was the Bloody Hatchet Man because I could play defense. I could lock you down. I was the Bloody Hatchet Man because not only could I lock down on defense, but if need be, I could rack up the fouls and I could put guys on the floor. And I wasn't very nice about it.
What the hell, Brad? You're like the most mild-mannered guy.
I know,
I don't buy this for a second.
I knew I couldn't shoot. I wasn't a very good dribbler. There wasn't a lot I could do, but whatever I could do well, I was going to own it. I think it was Mr. Riley. Coach Riley had nicknamed me the Bloody Hatchet Man. Might have been Coach Healy. I can't remember one of them. So, at 5'10", and being skinny as a rail with no skills, had I been in a position as Michael Porter Jr., he's from Columbia. He loves Missouri. His sisters play there. His brother plays there. He loves Mizzou. I would so want to play. I would so want to play. That NBA ticket's out there. You don't want to get hurt again. But just, yeah, I mean, get a few minutes. I mean, if Michael Porter Jr. could give you 6 minutes, 8 minutes, 12 minutes, those are going to be a good 6, 8, and 12 minutes. Those are going to be the best minutes you're going to see. And Jonte had a big game last game after he slipped back a little bit. Boy, I'd want to play. And so now you got to now you got to wait for the SEC tournament, and the discussion is going on for another week.
Well, and I don't have the seeds in front of me. I didn't look. I probably should have done that before I opened up my mic. But if Missouri loses in their first matchup in the SEC, that's and Michael Porter does play, and then let's say that hurts their seed line, and then they play one tournament game, and he ends up racking up. So he played 2 minutes already. He ends up racking up like 32 total minutes for the season. Was it worth it, or would you just ultimately like to me? If I'm Michael Porter Jr.,
you
I'm
say
just,
it's over.
I'm just being like, dude, I'm done.
I'm gonna cheerlead.
I'm out.
I'm gonna cheerlead.
I'm gonna look at hotties on the baddies.
Baddies, yeah.
Baddies that, on that the one. From the bench.
I learned new terminology, and someone did the lip reading on Michael Porter Jr. pregame shoot around, and he said, "Look at those baddies up in the stands."
I wish they would have panned. That would have been.
I don't know if the broadcast crew or the guys in the production truck at the time knew what he was saying. Somebody else had to, I think, interpret what he was saying. I'd never heard the term baddies before.
That's a young kid.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm an old dude. So now this discussion goes on into next week, and Mizzou will head to St. Louis. Long trip over to St. Louis for the SEC tournament. By the way, is the state of Missouri not the hotbed for college basketball both this week and next week? Because, what, the MIAA tournament, right?
Yeah, going on today.
Going on today down at Municipal.
Mm-hmm.
I think Seren was broadcasting there.
Yeah, they were
week.
There
yeah,
on
Seren
Thursday.
Was there this week. So MIAA is in town. The Big 12 tournament's coming to Sprint Center.
Yep.
The SEC tournament's in St. Louis, regardless yep. of if you like or don't like St. Louis. Still, the state of Missouri is ground zero for college basketball this week. And the only bigger tournament outside of the Big 12 and the SEC was what, the ACC?
Yeah,
is there bigger, is
probably.
There another one that falls? Pac-12 is going to stink. Pac-12 is not that great.
That's going to be rough. But I think, don't they play in Vegas, though?
Yeah, that would be fun.
So that wouldn't be too bad.
No. But Missouri's this ground zero for college basketball this week. It's going to be a blast. And if Missouri goes deep in St. Louis, and if KU, K-State, or let's throw in Iowa State, if either one of those three go deep in the Big 12 tournament, Kansas City's going to be bonkers this weekend, next weekend. Iowa State fans are nuts. Love the Iowa State fans. K-State fans will come over. They're great. And we know KU fans are going to be loading up power and light. By the way, WHB is going to basically be camped at the Miller Lite party area. The
Fan Fest,
the Miller Lite Fan Fest, all week next week at the Power and Light next across the street from Sprint Center. I'll be down there for a little bit. Don't have the schedule completely ironed out yet, but A10 WHB is going to own Power and Light, which A10 normally does. Owns everything. I'm just being honest here.
No, just the way that you described it.
Well,
810 owns Power and Light. They normally do.
Owns,
it just sounds funny.
Owns the space.
I don't know what that says about the people who work
I've
here.
Had a good chance in the last several months since my former place of employment decided to lay a bunch of people off. I've had a chance to sample a lot of media, television, radio, to see kind of see what works and what doesn't, what I like and what I don't like. And I tend to stay away from the bravado. Oh, we're better than that guy. What I'm saying is,
I'll say it.
Okay, well, let me use the example. The Missouri-Kansas basketball game at Sprint Center for charity for flood victims was a huge event. It was a sellout. And I was on the stage doing a show that day.
Mm-hmm.
And we had lots of great guests. Jared Sutton was there, and Connor Tian was there, and Michael Watson was there, former UMKC star, is a big Mizzou fan. Brian Haney joined us. On and on. We had everybody on the show. We had a lot of people on the show. But 810, WHB, Union Broadcasting, and the guys from ESPN 1510 were there too, on the stage, doing the show on the stage, giving away prizes on the stage. Stephen St. John was giving out prizes and interviewing guys, and it was a blast. And 810 owned the space. That's what I'm saying. It's not a braggadocious thing.
No, I got it.
I'm. It's a statement of fact.
I meant the phrasing, Brad, is that
okay.
Just seemed like
no,
they're always out
own.
Of power and light and
A-10.
Running around down there.
Yes.
That was the way I took it.
Okay. 8-10 dominates the space.
Right, I gotcha.
So, anyway.
I'll say this. All the people who come down, it is a great time. You'll have a really fun time. There's always a bunch of prizes and a bunch of stuff going on. I will say be patient to all the people down there because everybody's trying their best. There's a lot of people and a lot of moving parts.
Yes.
And there
yes.
are a lot of people behind the scenes. Shane Summers, I know, works extremely hard for this. Jason Justice. So
yep.
Shout
Drake,
out to those
yeah.
two.
Yeah. It's amazing to watch. To see it all get to put together behind the scenes. I describe doing radio and television as, and I didn't invent this term, it's an old term, but it's the duck on the water. What you see above the water when you see on-air guys doing the show, that looks like fun. Guys sitting around talking sports. It's kind of easy. It's a blast. You guys play around for a living. Yes. Being in radio and television is the playground. Serena said this many, it's the playground of the world. But the duck on the water, what you see when guys are on the stage or doing a live radio show, everything looks calm and easy. But when you look below the water, that duck's legs are kicking like crazy. And that's Shane Summers, the Drake, the whole crew from 1510 who was down there to put everything. It takes a lot of people to make that work.
Yeah, for sure. And Chad and Pamela, who runs yep. our promotion department, everybody does a great job.
So that's going to be going on. So, yeah, back to the Missouri, Kansas City, and St. Louis being the epicenter of college basketball this week. I can't wait. I can't wait to get down to Power and Light and be around all the people from all the schools. We know some schools aren't all that well represented. Baylor doesn't usually have a lot of people up here. Texas has some, but Texas isn't playing. There's no real motivation to make the trip from Austin.
No.
Oklahoma State usually is pretty well represented,
yeah.
Although they're not playing well this year. Oklahoma's okay.
My aunt and uncle are actually coming up from OU or from Oklahoma. They live in OKC, and they bought their tickets. Oh gosh, when OU was playing pretty well, and
right.
Trey Young was like lighting the world on fire, and they spent they bought 3 day or full passes.
Yeah,
and they spent a lot of money. I think they're going to be pretty disappointed when they get here.
Well, the good thing is even on that first day, which is normally not good at the Big 12. You have the garbage team.
It's going to be great this
yeah,
year.
The league is so balanced, and you're going to have teams on that first day who you think that these are NCAA tournament teams. I mean, it's going to be a good – I'm excited, and I know Kathy Nelson at the Sports Commission, the head of the Sports Commission, Davey B. works over there as well. They've worked so hard year after year after year to make this a signature event in Kansas City and to keep bringing it back, and I know they can't wait to get this going because their work started – a year ago, and they've been doing this work for decades down at the Sports Commission. So excited for those guys and excited to be part of the 8-10 crew who will be down there all week at the Miller Lite Fan Fest. So on that note, we will take a quick timeout. The update once again, in case you missed it, or if you tuned in late, Michael Porter Jr. will not be playing for Missouri today against Arkansas. That's now been confirmed by multiple media outlets, and it's all according to the school. University says he's not playing. So disappointed for Mizzou fans and Stephen St. John, but go down and enjoy the game against Arkansas and shore up a seed line for the NCAA tournament. All right, quick timeout. I'm Brad Porter. This is Sports Saturday on Sports Radio 810 WHB live from the Rally House Studios.
This is Sports Saturday on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
That is the theme music for the day, Funky. Now we're picking up the pace a little bit with that one. This is Sports Saturday, Sports Radio 810 WHB. I am Brad Porter, broadcasting live from the Rally House Studios. And we were talking in the last segment about doing live radio and how it's the duck on the water. Everything above the water looks calm, but the legs are kicking underneath. And I got a tweet back from a comedian here in town, whose name is also Brad, at Brad KC. Said, hey man, comedy is the same way. The stage is the reward, but no one sees all the hard work behind the scenes. Countless phone calls, emails, rejection, backstabbing, writing, more writing, open mics, bar shows, long travel days, and always alone in a crappy hotel room. So that's Brad and KC. Thank you, Brad. I appreciate that. Thank you for listening. And I did have a tweet last week. It was initially it sounded negative. It's after KU lost to Baylor, Brad Porter said their Big 12 was in danger, and it was as false then as it is now. And I normally I don't answer stuff like that, but I thought I'll just be nice. I'll just say, hey, after that game, not only did KU get blown out, they lost 2 out of 3. Bill Self was publicly calling out his players. He benched a couple of his starters, and I tweeted the guy back this information, and the guy was actually very nice, and I'll have to look it up in a little bit. I'm not going to do it right now, but guy answered back, hey, good points, like the show, and so kind of turned down the temperature on the discussion a little bit. So anyway, Brad and Casey, thank you very much for the tweet, and good luck if you've got comedy shows going on this weekend. I know you guys work hard. Mick Schaefer's brother is also a professional comedian, Scott Schaefer. His Twitter account is PG-13. No, it's rated R. It's basically rated R. But he was in town here a week or two ago. Scott Schaefer, he works really hard. And so I know all the local comedians out here, Jeremy and Casey, who we tweet back and forth once in a while. But I know you guys work really hard. And it can be a thankless profession at times.
You're not confused. Mick's not the comedian?
No, Mick is not the comedian.
He certainly acts like it.
No. His brother gets paid to be funny. So his Scott Schaefer is
Mick
the...
Mick does it all for free, folks.
Mick does it, and Mick is funny.
Mick is funny.
Mick's probably the funniest person I've ever met.
I don't know if I'd go that far, but Mick is a funny guy.
He's one of the funniest people I've ever met. His brother is very funny as well, although he works blue, as they call the comedy business. It's not for children. So the breaking news that we had in the last segment, Michael Porter Jr. will not be playing for Missouri today against Arkansas. Alex Schiffer from the Kansas City Star, who appears with Seren Petro every week, has statements from the university. This is what Michael Porter Jr. said in a printed release. Quote, after two more practices since coming home from Nashville, the coaching staff and I feel that it is in the best interest of the team and myself to not play tonight. That's from Michael Porter Jr. Michael Porter Jr. also added, quote, coming back from 3 months without practicing has been a challenge, but it is a challenge that I am taking on every day. The plan is to keep working with an eye on potentially playing at the SEC tournament and helping our squad be successful in the postseason. Now, remember, Michael Porter Jr. was cleared for practice a little more than a week ago for basketball activities, I guess you could say. He's gone through warm-ups, he's gone through full practices, but has not played as of yet. So there it is. There's your breaking news. Michael Porter Jr. not playing today for Missouri against Arkansas. And I'm disappointed for all the Mizzou fans, disappointed for basketball fans, because I really wanted to see Michael Porter Jr. play, but got to take care of yourself first. Got to make sure you're healthy. Got to protect your interests. I know I've seen it at other schools before where I was thoroughly convinced that certain players were milking an injury before they got their ticket to the NBA. Thoroughly convinced I've seen that happen on more than one occasion. I'll have to think back in my memory banks, but I have seen it before. So Michael Porter Jr. not playing today for Missouri against Arkansas. Final comment before we take a break here. We didn't touch on the Chiefs at all, but Brett Veach at the NFL Combine in Indianapolis had this to say about Patrick Mahomes II. We had a plan for Patrick, and that was to come in, learn the offense, not go out there and play until you have a firm mental grasp of what you want to accomplish. All the physical tools are there. He is one of the best players I have ever seen. And then he went on to say, but you can't throw him out there too soon. You have to get him ready. But according to Brett Veach, GM of the Kansas City Chiefs, Patrick Mahomes II, one of the best players he's ever seen. Like the confidence. Might be jumping the gun just a little bit. All right, Brandon Kiley from 101 ESPN in St. Louis is going to join us next to talk about this breaking news about Michael Porter Jr. not playing today. 10:30, Brian Haney from the KU Network, voice of the Jayhawks, is going to join us talking Jayhawks. Riley Gates at 11 and Nick Garcia at 11:30. Quick timeout. You're listening to Sports Saturday. I'm Brad Porter on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
This is Sports Saturday on Sports Radio 810 WHB.